How good was that, huh? That was so fun. It's so cool to have talented people here that you can kind of, any song we can dream up just about, we can do. It's super fun. Like that song is by an artist called NF. If you like Eminem and you would like Eminem without the swearing, this is a good artist to listen to because they kind of got a similar sound and he's great. But the lyrics of that song, I've been there. So have you, right? Stuck. Stuck in your mind, frozen because you don't know what to do or which way to move. Half the time, we don't realize how stuck we are. And we're scared of what might happen if we do make a change. Like, what if I make the wrong move? What if I think the wrong things? What if what I try doesn't work and I'm worse off? It's kind of like, have you ever had your phone freeze where it's like you can do this all you want and it just stays stuck on the screen, or like you're pushing buttons and it won't do anything? If that happens for long enough, what do you do? What do you do? You just shut it off, right? You turn it off and you start it back on, and you turn it back on and voila, it's all reset, right? Everything's back to normal. Everything works again. Wouldn't it be nice if we can do that with our brains? Like you could go to bed, hit reset, wake up the next morning with all the old patterns gone and the loop broken. Unfortunately, you know, I know, it is not that easy. Every one of us knows what it feels like to be stuck in a mental loop where you replay the conversation that you wish went differently and you replay it over and over. You relive the moment that still stings. You rehearse fears that you never signed up to feel. There's a soundtrack on repeat in your life that you didn't ask for, but somehow you know it by heart. And then like January shows up, right? And it's like pep talk time. It's like, hey, new year, new goals, new routines, new planner, new gym membership, new year, new you. But the same soundtrack is still playing underneath, and it underscores everything. And you realize over years of trying this that you can change your clothes, you can change your schedule, your diet, your job, even your gym, but if you don't change your mind, everything snaps back into place just like it was. That's why change is difficult. That's why New Year's Eve resolutions don't make it past January most of the time. It's our minds that need the reset. So let me give you a truth for today. And that is just this: your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. There's a verse that describes this to us, Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, "For as a person thinks, as he thinks in his heart, so he is." So if you want to change your life this year, it starts with changing your thinking. You change your thinking. You get that right, and you can change your life this year. And you know some of the old axioms that we listen to. It's like, if you think you can't, you probably won't. But if you believe that through Christ you can, you're far more likely to. If you believe that you're always going to be a victim, you will live as a victim. Things will always just happen to you, and you will always be on the negative side. If you believe you can overcome through the power of Christ, you start living life like an overcomer. If all you do is stare at your problems will overwhelm you. But if instead you start looking for solutions in the work of God, you will start to see God working. For almost all of us, in almost every situation, most of life's battles are won or lost between our ears. And there's a tremendous battle going on for our minds. We live in the loudest generation in history. If you just think about it, you have more information in your pocket than civilizations used to have in a lifetime. Right here. You can scroll through more people's lives in an hour than your grandparents knew their whole life. You can just scroll right through people's lives. Anxiety is up. Overthinking is normal. Comparison is constant. We want peace. Our thoughts sprint. We want confidence. Our inner critics are relentless. We want clarity, but the noise just will not fade. And it doesn't just stay in your head. It spills into everything around us in marriage, where assumptions become arguments before a word is spoken. In parenting, where your quiet fears as a parent leak into the tone that your kids hear. in families where the emotional temperature rises or falls on the loop, based on the loops that you don't deal with, you've never dealt with, in relationships where our hang-ups and our insecurities drive wedges between us and the people that we love. The toughest battles we face aren't always visible, but they shape everything that is visible, and it is widespread. The state of mental health in our country right now is absolutely wild. This isn't just some people out there. Right now, almost 1 in 4 adults, over 60 million people, are living with some kind of mental illness. Nearly 48 million are battling depression. It's 1 in 5 adults are battling depression. And over the last decade, the number of adults that said 10 years ago, when they were asked, my mental health is excellent or good, the answers were 9 out of 10 people said, yeah, my mental health is excellent or good. You know what that's happened 10 years later? It is now 5.5 to 6 people out of 10 would say my mental health is good or excellent. Now, where it gets interesting is what's happening in adults is seeping into our kids. And again, this is widespread. If you just think it's just you and why can't you get it together, you're not the only one in this room fighting a battle between your ears. The CDC reports that 4 in 10 high school students feel persistently sad or hopeless. Now just let that sink in. 4 out of 10 high school students feel persistently sad, like it doesn't go away, and feel hopeless. 1 in 5 has seriously considered suicide in the last year. Our kids are not just fighting for grades and scholarships and college admissions. They're fighting for peace in their minds and hope in their hearts. So when we talk about families winning and breakthrough in mental health, we are not talking about inner peace for stressed out adults. We are talking about the emotional climate of our homes. We're talking about the future of our kids and the spiritual resilience of our church and our families. And we're not just dealing with a mental health crisis. We're actually dealing with a spiritual emotional crisis that God deeply cares about, that we've got to talk about. So what do we do when the loop won't stop, when we can't outthink what our thoughts keep producing? Today, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament, planted churches, helped lead the early church movement. And what I love about Paul is that by the end of his life, if anyone had learned to win the battle of the mind, it was him. With God's help, he actually mastered his thinking. The good news is that he didn't start there. If you read some of Paul's early writings, he sounds a little crazy sometimes, which should encourage the rest of us. Like he said at one point, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing. Who will help me with this body that is so full of death? What is he talking about? He's describing a mental battle. He's describing the struggles that he's dealing with in his mind. And he battled in his mind again and again. He fought. He took ground. And over time, he won. He learned to take his thoughts captive so that even from a Roman prison, he could say things that were otherworldly because he learned to let God rule his thoughts. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I just got to tell you, the battle of the mind is fought on so many fronts. We're not going to talk about all the fronts that the battle of the mind is fought on. But what I'm going to give you is how to win the battle of your mind on a spiritual level. How to invite God into the battle, which is your greatest ally, your greatest strength. How do we allow God into the battle that what's going on in our mind and win on that front? Because you can find victory on that front. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the other fronts and how to find victory there. But I want to start with the words of Paul. We're going to take a passage of scripture and kind of dissect it and talk about it throughout the talk today. But these are words from Paul to followers of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus yet, this gives you a glimpse of the power that is available to you once you step across the line of faith. The Bible tells us that you then have access to the supernatural power of God to do things that you can't do on your own. It's kind of like a fastball that Christians have. And many of us, we don't use it very well, but it's there, and we're going to talk about it today. So Paul is speaking about the battles we face. It's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. You have access to supernatural weapons from the kingdom of heaven. On the contrary, they have divine power, miraculous power to do what? To demolish strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's a fortified prison. Your enemy, Satan, wants to lock you in, trapped by the lies he tells you, lies that you start to believe as truth. Lies like, you can't trust people. Lies like, you can't let other people see the real you. God, he doesn't really love you, and he does not hear your prayers. You'll never get over this. You'll always be weak. You will always be hurting. You'll never have real intimacy. Your kids, they will never respect you. In fact, you're kind of a screw-up, and you have been your whole life. What does Satan do? He lies and he lies and he lies. Here's what Paul tells us we do about it. Because we fight with weapons that have supernatural power, we demolish those strongholds. We demolish, we crush, we vanquish, we destroy arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Pretensions are proud, arrogant ideas or philosophies that lift themselves up above God's truth and become spiritual strongholds in our minds. Anything that isn't from God, we crush it. Everything that argues against our worth and identities in Christ, we destroy. How? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You find when you go to God's word, Scripture does not avoid the mental battle. It actually gives us a pathway through it. And you got to know, God doesn't just want to save your soul someday in heaven. He wants to renew your mind today. That's the breakthrough we're after. If your mind never changes, your life never changes. You stay stuck. That's not what I want for you. I don't want you to stay stuck. This church, we do not want you to stay stuck. God does not want you to stay stuck. God designed transformation to go through your thoughts, not around them. He wants transformation to go through the way you think, not around the way you think. So we start where Paul points us in Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by trying harder. Be transformed by pretending everything's fine. And maybe it will be someday. Be transformed by, just read a few self-help books. There's some really smart people out there. No, what does he say? Be transformed by what? What are those four words? The renewing of your mind. How do you be transformed? It starts with the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul says you start with renewing your mind. Don't conform to the world's pathways. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't process like the world processes. Don't live and act and stay stuck in the mental loop the world is stuck in. With God's help, renew your mind. This is so important for us to understand. Do you know that you and I can actually direct the pathways our thoughts travel on? Here's what the brain scientists tell us. The more you think a thought, the easier it is to keep thinking it. The more you think it, the more you keep thinking it. The more you think it, the easier that is to be your default position. And over time, you create a visible path. If you think a thought enough, it becomes the default, like walking across the same patch of grass over and over. You kind of wear a trail. So if you think I will always be less than my neighbor, my boss, my friend, my husband, or my wife, I'll always be less than them. If you think that over and over, that pathway becomes easier to believe that as truth. If you think to yourself, I don't have enough, and you think that over and over and over again, you create a mental path where it's easier to believe that you'll never have enough than to believe that God is your source and will give you everything you need. Scientists call that a negative neural pathway that you can create. So to change your thinking, you have to change the path that your thoughts travel. If you keep walking the unhealthy path, it stays clear and it stays easy. But if you, this is what they've learned, if you get off that pathway and start a new one, go down a different pathway, that pathway grows over. The trail that you've worn kind of fills in with grass, and that becomes harder to travel down. And when you do that, you can start forming new paths with new God-honoring thoughts, and the truth of God can actually become the default instead of the lie. What scientists would say is when you do that, you're rewiring your brain. You know what Scripture says? You're renewing your mind. It is the same thing. You are rewiring the way that you actually think by allowing God to renew your mind. There is a way of thinking that does not conform to the patterns of this world. There's a transformed way of thinking that renews your mind and makes your perspective different from those who don't know Jesus. That's the breakthrough. And when you think that way, and like I'm telling you, that if you can get there this year, when you think that way, you are able to discern God's will, his perfect, good, pleasing will. You're able to discern his way of thinking. You're able to discern his way of living. Wouldn't it be nice to actually know what God wants you to do? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you like to know what God wants you to do? Wouldn't it be nice to know what you were designed for? Like why God dreamed you up and put you on this planet? Wouldn't it be nice to live a life that pleases God and is your best life at the same time? I'm telling you, you want that. I want that. It is possible to get to a place where you are living a life that you are pleasing God and you're living your best life that you ever dreamed you could be because it's beyond where you thought you could ever get to. So the rest of our time today is about how we do that. And let me just tell you, this is not a one-time moment. This is a journey. You got to remember, Satan is trying to deceive us at all times. He's trying to get us to believe lies over God's truth. It is constant. It is a lifelong battle that you and I are in. But I want to give you three steps to kind of get this journey started. And this is a journey to the breakthrough in our minds. The very first one is you need to identify the loop. Identify the pattern. Identify the faulty thinking, the path that you've worn, believing lies instead of truth. And I will just tell you right now, this is the hardest step of all of them. This is the most difficult. But this is where Romans 12:2 says, well, don't conform to the pattern of this world. And in other words, stop letting the world, your past, or your trauma set your mental playlist. Like, don't do that anymore. See, you and I pick up patterns over time. This is how this works. Something painful happens in your life. Someone labels you. You go through a heavy season of anxiety and failure, or you grow up around fear and anger and shame, and that's kind of just kind of the way that your household worked. And quietly, this pattern forms, a pathway forms. And I'll just tell you, I don't know anybody who has ever said, you know what, I would love to be anxious every day. Like, that would just be my best day ever. We don't say that. No one that I have ever known has said, you know what my goal is? My goal is to be insecure in every room I walk into. Like, we just don't talk that way. But how does that happen? How do we get to that place? Our brain responds to what happens to us by wiring in stories. Well, I must not be enough. Wiring in stories. People always leave. People always leave me. If I don't control everything, it's all going to fall apart. So I've got to stay in control. I'm just the problem. I'm a loser. I always get passed over. This always happens to me. This is just the story of my life. After a while, it doesn't feel like a pattern. It feels like personality, right? It feels like, well, this is who I am. This is just, I'm weak, I'm unlovable, I'm unworthy. And what happens is that way of thinking seeps into our identity. And then it just wreaks all kind of havoc, all kind of damage. So the first step of getting out of this loop is we start identifying the patterns and the pathways that are often rooted in lies about ourselves, others, and God. For example, and I'll just give you an example. You have a frustrating day at work. You come home to chaos. The kids are not listening. And so you yell at them. Now, I've never done that. I'm a pastor, but I'm sure some of you have at some point. I'm just kidding. But you do that over and over again. And what gets wired in there? Well, when there is chaos, I yell. That's what gets wired in, because that's just the easiest pathway. There's chaos, easiest pathway, I've worn it down, good, I yell. Or your mind says, I don't feel good about myself. Let's eat. That's our go-to, unhealthy pathway. Your mind says, you know what, I'm going to blow it. I'm never good enough. Nothing goes my way. That's not a God-honoring path, but the more you think that way, the more you're going to continue to think that way. So we name the loop. We name the pattern. This takes some work. Let me just tell you, this is not easy. It's one thing to like know what you struggle with. It is another thing to know why you struggle with it. So it's like you've got to do the work. Your mind is complex. Your emotions are confusing, especially to us guys. We are really weirded out by emotions, and we don't get them. We don't understand them. They're confusing. It's tough to do, but if you will get alone with your thoughts and God, God will help you with this. He will help you identify the pattern, identify the loop. And I'm telling you, so few people do this. So few. But if you would, if you would take this step and just get alone with your thoughts and God, and you do the work, you will experience breakthrough this year like you didn't know was possible. Because there are some lies you believe that you don't even know are really running your operating system right now. And you won't find them without sitting down with God. And I want to give you a prayer to pray right out of Scripture to help you identify the pattern. And here it is. It's right out of Psalm 139. It is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Talking about our minds and how we think. "Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God, search me. Know me." You know what God wants from you? He wants access. Would you give him access to your heart? He wants access. So God, look at my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that is not honoring to you in the way I think. Anything that offends you. What offends God are things that are not of God. So it's like, point out anything that isn't from you and lead me down a new path, a path to everlasting life. If you pray that and then you listen and you start writing, God will point out thoughts that are not founded in truth. And you will write down the thoughts that keep replaying, and you can say them out loud, which is difficult to do, and you can bring them into the light. And I will just tell you, breakthrough in this area begins with honesty, not pretending. It begins with honesty. And you might write some stuff that is difficult to write. I feel like I'm failing as a parent. Maybe you've never said that out loud, but that's how you feel. I believe everyone eventually leaves me, and I run with that fear at all times. I'm terrified that I will never be enough for the people who are counting on me. I think God is disappointed at me and me all the time. That's just what I feel from him. I'm lonely, and I really don't think anybody loves me. The point of this is for you to not clean it up and not make it sound spiritual. It's just to make it sound honest. Make it sound honest. And parents, you know you can do this with your kids. You can speak to them about your mental health journey. You can say things like, you know what, when I feel like, sometimes I feel like I'm not good enough, and you know what I'm learning? I'm learning to take those thoughts to God and ask him what he thinks. And I'm bringing those to God, and I'm replacing them with truth. You can say things like that to your kids so they know that this is an ongoing thing. Married couples, maybe later today or this week, you do this work, and you share one loop that you've been carrying. You cannot heal what you hide. And I will just tell you, some of my most healing moments have been sharing the lies that I believe with Melissa, my wife. The most healing moments are when I've just looked at her and said, "This is how I'm feeling right now. This is the lie that I just can't stop believing." And she is able to just speak truth to me. There is, and it is terrifying and vulnerable, right? Because it's like, what if she goes, "Well, actually, that's true." No, you know? But there's power in bringing our thoughts into the light. There's power to putting them to words with God and with people. And so you need to know that your patterns don't stay personal. They actually become generational. Families absorb patterns that you never meant to teach them. Marriages carry the weight of thoughts that are unspoken. Kids learn to think the way you think in front of them. If most of what they hear from you is criticism that you call honesty, they'll never feel good enough. If what they hear from you is pessimism, fear, that becomes their filter to how they see the world and how they process the world through their minds. At some point, you have to do the work, identify the pattern, and name it. You can't change what you won't name. So the first step is you in mental health, and a breakthrough in mental health, it's not heroic, it's honest, it's identify the pattern and the lie that's underneath it. Step two is capture the lie. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, we read that. That is not polite language. Like, you don't take every thought captive, like, with a hug. It's like, "Oh, come here, little buddy. Like, this is good. Oh, you're such a good..." No, you take thoughts captive that shouldn't be there. And that's like, it's like war language. It's battlefield language. You grab it, you lock it up. You don't have to believe everything you think. You don't. Some thoughts must be confronted. Some thoughts must be interrupted. Some thoughts must be arrested. Most of the time, we kind of let any thought that pops into our head kind of walk around like it's own the place. Like, we kind of do that. We just let it walk around like it's supposed to be there, and it's got control of the place. But God says, no, your thoughts aren't your boss. They're your battleground. That's what your thoughts are. So let's make it practical. When a thought shows up that you know shouldn't be there, You learn to ask, is this actually true? Does this line up with what God says about me? I'm assuming you know what God says about you. That's why you need to be in God's word, so that you know what he says about you. Does this line up with what God says about me? If I follow this thought to the end, where does it take me? And let me just help you figure out thoughts. Like, where are they coming from? Are they coming from the enemy? Are they coming from God? If there's a thought that keeps playing in your head and that thought produces shame, that thought produces hopelessness, fear, accusation, condemnation, isolation, it is not from God. It's not from God. It doesn't belong there. You take that thought captive. Jesus' voice, it might correct us, but it leads to life. His voice lifts our heads. It doesn't push them down in shame. The voice of Jesus calls us to love God, love others, and even love ourselves as his creation. You know that God wants you to love who you are. He loves who you are. He wants you to love who you are. And when we learn to listen, we can learn to recognize his voice. And I will just tell you from personal experience, it is hard to identify the patterns. It's hard to capture the lies that we believe. And that's why this is the part we most often skip for a host of reasons. Many of our thoughts that are kind of running around our head that are full of lies, and the foundation of them is lies, we can't really capture those by ourselves. Some of you have loops that have been running in your mind 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, decades. Because there's trauma, there's loss, there's deep pain there. And sometimes the loop runs so deep, you need help to kind of figure out what it is. You need someone that's trained to help you. That's why it's like I believe every single one of us needs counseling. And guys, I'm talking to you, men, because we're like the worst. We're the most resistant to counseling. We're the ones like, I don't need that. I can figure it out on my own. No, you can't. Personal experience. No, you can't. So what you need to do, if you're the leader of your household, you need to lead. Man up. Go to counseling. You need it. You've got lies that you're believing that are dictating everything that you do, and it's impacting everyone around you that's counting on you, and you're not going to get to the bottom of them or find healing without someone coming alongside and helping you on that journey. And some of you need to step into some counseling this year. That's going to be your breakthrough. And women too, but I'm just speaking to guys because we're the worst. Some of you just need to go to soul care. Like, we do soul care couple times a year, that class will help you get to the point where you are identifying the lies that run your operating system, and you can overwrite them with God's truth. Some of you need to talk to a pastor. Like, Clint called me lead pastor earlier, so I think I'm that. Some of you need to go meet with a pastor, and I'll just tell you about me and some of the other pastors on our staff. We can't counsel you. We're not trained therapists. We're not trained counselors. But what we can do is we can point you to the spiritual tools that God has given every believer to fight this battle. And we can point you there. We can give you a head start while you're kind of working out like where you're going to go, see if you need more help than that. Some of you guys need a trusted Christian therapist. Some of you need a psychiatrist. Like, you need to know that sometimes there are chemical things that are wrong in our brains, and we've got to get those right. And that is a real battle that people have. And so some of us need a psychiatrist, not to fix you, but to help you name the lies your brain has been rehearsing for years. And I will just tell you everything other than the psychiatrist, because I haven't seen a psychiatrist, but every other thing that I shared with you, I have done them. Because I want to do the work in my life of not being who I was last year. I want to be someone new this year. And I know for me to change, I've got to start with how I think. So I've done every single one of those because I needed help capturing the lies that I struggle with. If you missed the message that Shea Bates shared on December 28th, it was an online service only, phenomenal message. She crushed it. Go back and watch it. But she talked about how she learned to take her thoughts captive through counseling, through soul care, through daily time in God's word, through an ongoing personal conversation with God on a daily basis. And she was able to get to this place where she was taking thoughts captive and has truly changed over the last however many years she's been doing that. Like, God can perform the miraculous, but you've got to do the work. Like, you've got to do your part. So if you're here and you're going, I know I've got some loops that are bigger than me, can I just say something as your pastor? Getting counseling is not a sign that you don't trust God. It can be a sign that you do. It can be a sign that you're saying, God, I believe you work through prayer, your word, and through wise people who can help me untangle what I can't untangle by myself. And then you bring those lies out of the darkness and into the light. And it is a journey. It takes years. It is not a one-time thing. It is hard work, but it is so worth it because you will get to places that you didn't know you could get to. But step by step, we identify the pattern. We capture the lie. We bring it into the light with God and trusted people. Step 3, we replace the lies with truth. And this is where we just stop walking the negative pathways and we start walking pathways that are creating God-honoring thoughts. It's not enough to stop a thought. You've got to replace the thought. Philippians 4, Paul tells us in verse 8 and 9, so fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. I love this verse. Fix your thoughts on those. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you. And I love that because it's like fix your thoughts right off the bat. Paul is just acknowledging, hey, if you're human and you're living on planet Earth, your thoughts are broken. That's just the reality of being human. We're broken. We have a human condition that just makes life here difficult. So our thoughts are broken. We need to fix them. How do we fix them? By fixing them, aiming them, putting them, locking them in on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, on God and his blessings. Scripture is packed with truth about who God says you are to him and also tells you who he is. So we use that truth to replace the lies. Here's what that sounds like when Satan tells you you can't. You say, no, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When Satan tells you you'll never change, no, I have the Spirit of God living in me and he can transform me. When Satan tells you you're weak, yep, and when I'm weak, he's strong. When Satan tells you you're not enough, you're not attractive, you're not good, you can say back, you know, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of my God. When Satan tells you you'll always be miserable, you can say, no, the joy of the Lord is actually my strength, and he will give me joy. When Satan tells you you'll always be alone, no, my God will never leave me nor forsake me. When he tells you you're just a victim, you can't overcome, no, greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. When Satan tells you that you'll always be addicted, you say, no, I'm an overcomer by the blood of Jesus Christ who shed his blood on the cross and the word of my testimony. I am who God says I am. That's what that sounds like. That's what that looks like. The more I know God's truth, the more I can travel God's truth. The more I believe it, the more he renews my mind. The more he changes my thinking, the more I'm able to walk by faith and not by sight. The more his spirit guides me, the more his word directs me, the more his power empowers me to do what he's called me to do, the more my mind is renewed and I'm walking along pathways and thinking that leads to life and not death. So what do we believe? 2 Peter 1, 2. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And I will just say this, a couple of truths that you need to memorize and preach to yourself is this: I have everything I need to do everything that God wants me to do, which is truth, you do. There's no I can't with God. He's given you everything that you need to do everything he's called you to do. And second thing is I have everything I need to live the way God wants me to live today. You can change your life today and start living a different life. The more you walk in that, the clearer his path becomes, the more his truth becomes your default. Why do we need God's truth? Because God's truth reshapes our identity. God's truth rebuilds marriages. God's truth rewrites generational stories. God's truth changes the emotional climate of your home. God's truth does that. See, breakthrough happens when God's truth becomes the loudest voice in the room. Truth repeated becomes truth that is rooted. And so I want to close by sharing with you a major milestone in my own journey. Like I said, renewing the mind, it is a lifelong process because the enemy never stops trying to plant lies. But there are moments, if you stick with it, that you will experience true breakthrough. About 5 years ago, two of my closest pastor friends started meeting with this counselor named Greg. And Greg meets with pastors exclusively, lead pastors all over the country. And these two guys, I had known them for decades, they were experiencing like real breakthroughs. They were like finding freedom in new ways, and they kept saying to me, Kev, you got to see this guy. Like, it is so good. Our minds are blown. We're growing so way. And I'm just like, no, you know, guys, I'm fine. I don't need that. And they're like, no, seriously, trust us. You do. And I'm like, what kind of friends are you? Like, leave me alone. Get out of here. Well, they literally hounded me for months. I started meeting with Greg. Greg's focus are on the lies that get planted in us the first 12 to 14 years of life. I honestly thought that I had made it through childhood pretty unscathed. Like, even though I grew up in a fatherless home and then had an abusive stepdad, I was like, I'm fine. Nothing to see here. I'm healthy. But as we dug in, two moments began to surface. One that happened with my biological dad and the other that happened with my stepdad. where Satan had planted lies in me that had shaped my identity for decades since that had happened. So Greg and I, we started working the process. We started identifying the loop. We discovered two core lies attached to approval. They're like bad code written into my operating system. And I shared the first lie a couple years ago with you, but I want to share the second one. When I was 12, 13 years old, my stepdad had serious anger issues. Like if he disapproved of something, his response was rage. And he went from 0 to 100 like that. It was like nothing, do something wrong, disapproval, and he's at 100. He's at just a 10 out of 10. And that rage was a 6'3", 300-pound man charging, yelling, and grabbing whatever he could reach to hit my brother and I with. That is how that went. And as a kid, when that happens, you're not thinking deep thoughts. You are terrified. You are so afraid. You just want it to be over. You want to crawl in a hole. All sense of well-being in those moments are just tossed out the window. Well, in those moments that happened over and over and over again for years, a lie got planted. So with Greg's help, I start going to God, and I'm like, God, what's the lie? Okay, you've shown me this thing that happened to me. What's the lie that got planted? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, you're inviting God, like, show me my anxious thoughts that don't have your truth in them. And so as I'm sitting there listening, and we're working through it, and I'm talking through it, there was this lie that showed up that I had never spoken in my life. I had never thought in my life. But as I just listened, I started writing down. I'm like, I think this is the lie. Here's the lie. It's what I wrote down. My well-being is dependent on your approval of me. It's just a lie. It had been there since I was 12, 13 years old. My well-being depended on your approval of me. And it was like an explosion went off in my brain. My life began making sense to me. Because my whole life, I have chased approval. My sense of well-being was so tied to the approval of people that I just strive for success at all costs. See, I learned that when I was successful, people approved of me. And when people approved of me, my sense of self-worth and my sense of well-being was okay. And my sense of well-being became dependent on success. That meant always succeeding, striving for success. That meant hiding anything bad, because you can't fail. That means spinning truth to the positive. That means reasoning away failure to someone else's fault because it can't possibly be yours, because you have to succeed. Otherwise, your sense of well-being is out the window. And I believe what's so fascinating, I believe that all the striving in my life, because I'd been a pastor since I was in my early 20s, I believe that all of my striving was about evangelism and building God's kingdom and reaching people for Christ. That's what I really believed was driving all the things that I was doing. Well, what I discovered is that all that striving and work that I put in to building up God's kingdom was fueled by my well-being being dependent on the approval of people. And that drove me for decades of my life. And I didn't even know it until Greg and I started naming this lie and replaced it with truth. We just went back to those moments of fear and being terrified when I was young and just asked God, God, where were you? Jesus, where were you in those moments? What do you have to say to me? How can you help me grow beyond this? And I just let him speak. And what happened was that truth began to replace the lie. And here was the truth that replaced that lie. I felt like Jesus just said to me, you're already approved by me. You're already approved. See, my worth was settled 2,000 years ago at the cross of Christ when Jesus laid down his life for me. He looked at me and he thought I was worth him giving up his life so that I could have life. He thought that my worth was life, him giving up his life so I could know God and spend eternity with him and find forgiveness and a connection with God in this life. I found that he doesn't just love me, he likes me. Like, think about that. God likes you. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. I began to start changing my thinking. It doesn't mean I get everything right, but it means that I'm secure. And when God finally revealed the lie and its source, I was in my 40s. And for the first time in my life, I began to experience peace deep in my soul. In my 40s. I started to find freedom from the snare of approval and freedom to live my life as who I was, who God says I am. And it took work to get there. It takes work to stay there because Satan is always trying to plant lies. He's always trying to keep us from living in the fullness of God's design for us. And so I just want to say, if we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we have to keep learning to capture our thoughts and replace lies with truth, like Paul did over and over and over. We need God's truth. Where are you going to get it? From his word, not the enemy's code that's in your mind. You got to go to his word, and you've got to get God's truth. Let that run your operating system. You can't do it alone. You need help. If you want breakthrough this year, you're going to need to commit to a process of getting your thoughts right, pouring God's truth into your mind through getting in his word daily, listening to music that points your mind and takes the thoughts of your mind up towards God. Being around people who will remind you of God's truth, belonging to a place that will point you towards God at all times. That's how you do that. One of the habits that I have formed over the last probably year or so is I got about a 15-minute drive to work. It is about 10 minutes if I take the 429, but I'm super cheap. And it's like $1.60 to go like 5 miles on 429. I'm not paying that. So I got a 15-minute drive to work, and so I put a worship playlist together. I started playing worship while I drove. And what I found was the beginning of the day and my way home at the end of the day, those songs would take my mind to places that were godly. So I turned off the talk radio, which is what I used to listen to, started putting on just worship. Those are two wildly different things, by the way. And God just started realigning and renewing my mind on a daily basis at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day on my way home. And there's a song a couple months ago that came on. And band, you guys can go ahead and come on out. They're going to play a song for you that a couple months ago came on either on my worship playlist or on the radio or something. It impacted me so much that I ended up putting it on my worship playlist. And probably the first dozen times I heard it, I couldn't get through it without tears. I couldn't get through it without fighting back tears, because it started to remind me and point me to how good God has been to me over decades of my life. I mean, going back to way when, this song just kind of captivated my mind. It started making me realize that God has been so good to me over the years when I didn't know he was doing it and I didn't deserve it. And so as the band plays this song, I want you to allow it to just worship over you. And it kind of hits hard right at the beginning. So it's like it just kind of jumps right into the lyrics. But this is what I want you to do. Would you allow this song to sing God's truth over you? Would you allow this song to kind of guide your thoughts for the next few minutes and direct your mind to where God has been good to you? So let's listen.